Blog Talk Radio.
Red.
Yeah.
Earth calling Red. Come in, Red. Big Red.
Yeah.
Yo, Big Red. Why don't you sound like you're in space?
Yo, I'm not in space, yo.
Why do you sound like you're talking to... Yo, what device are you calling from?
Oh, me?
Yeah, or you were sounding far away for a minute. You sound like you were talking to a megaphone.
I'm calling from the house room now.
Okay, I got you. What's good? What's good, everyone? Hello. Big
Hello.
Red and Brother B in the house. Another episode of The Menu. Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m., yo. This is how we're doing it now. Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother B in the house. Hope all is well with everyone. And to those where it's not all well, we keep you in our prayers. And always remember,
absolutely,
the storms of today don't last till tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? There's always something else going on. It's good and positive vibes is always around the corner. Can't dwell in the negative. Because tonight's show, you know, I will say this. The views of Brother B do not necessarily reflect the views of Big Red or the Minion. And to all those who want to take what I say out of context, before we get started, I just want to tell you, kiss my ass. Because, yeah, I'm in that type of mood. And just these topics tonight, yeah, I got to go in, Red. Once again, views of Brother B do not necessarily reflect the views of Big Red or any other person calling in tonight or the Menu and Blog Talk Radio. So, how you doing, Red, before we get started? How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. You know, just maintaining, chilling. Just trying to keep, you know, head over water.
I got you. Aren't we all? We all tread a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We all try. We're in a very negative. It's like the dark ages. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of negative energy going on. The Antichrist is just running loose, doing what the Antichrist does. 1009, what up, kids? What up, Lady T?
Hey, y'all, what's going on?
What's up, Lady T?
Hold on. Lady T, I know you. I'm half. I didn't know you was Trini. Boink. Oh, happy birthday.
You know what?
Happy birthday, Lady T.
Oh, Red, get your boy. It's too early.
That's good. Happy birthday! No one knows.
Well, my Lady Trinidad,
T.
My parents are Trinidadian and Portuguese, so yes.
Oh,
it's half.
You're a nice mix. That means you got the good hair. You got the good hair. You got the good hair. Yo, yeah, to those that don't know, we're gonna put on black. Lady T, one of the members of The Absolute Truth Show on Blog Talk Radio. It was her birthday. What, yesterday? Day before yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday was her birthday. I worked night, so I'll be leaving, baby. It was her birthday. And I hope you had a great birthday.
Yeah, I did. It was
hope
quiet.
You had a good birthday.
Quiet. Yeah.
What up, K-Dog? Everybody in the house.
What up, everybody?
What's up?
Hey. Happy birthday. Oh. Happy birthday, lady.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
I have to, once again, gotta keep the mood a little light right now. Like I said, I'm about to go in a little something. And we might as well get started. I've been doing some reading. I'm not really feeling this whole low morale with NYPD, Patrick Lynch, a.k.a. the Neanderthal with the mullet, calling cops to do a work slowdown. How do you tell the people that are hired to serve and protect to slow down? What kind of imbecile or child are you? This is the problem that I'm having with these people in NYPD who have this problem with the fact that this panty guy who killed Eric Garner, because that's what he did. That's what he did. He killed him. He went too far. He responded to a situation, and he took it into his own hands and went too far. I don't know what type of bad life he's having, but you didn't have to take it out on Eric Garner. I have a problem with these so-called flesh bags, wannabe human beings, who really want to talk about a dead man, badly about a dead man. And you want to tout and slap the killer on the back and we're sorry you lost your job. Here, we're going to help you out. I have a serious problem with you wanting to support a murderer when there's so many other things going on in the streets, so many other killers and murderers and homicidal maniacs. I don't see you supporting them, but you're supporting him because he's a cop, or are you supporting him because he's of that Anglo-Saxon descent, or you're just supporting him because you don't want to look like asses? I think it's probably a combination of all, because I don't really see any minority cops, or when I read these articles, I don't really see it too much. I don't see any black faces or maybe some Spanish faces in the background when they're talking about this situation.
I feel that there's some, but they're just scared to step up and say anything.
Well, there could be some Hispanics, there could be some blacks, there could be some others. But my whole thing is this: you're supporting murderers. Then you wonder why the streets don't like you. I have read NYPD has this thing called NYPD Rant. It is the most vile, disgusting, atrocious. There's words that it's just other words I would like to use, but I just won't. It's the most vile thing that I've ever seen. The things that some of these so-called police officers, what you might as well call them, hoods with badges. Some of the things that they have said, some of the things that they say pertaining to the streets or pertaining to certain types of people, but especially with this Eric Garner thing. So I had sent you this article earlier, and I had read something off of it. And I got to find it because what was actually on that whole NYPD rant thing, what one of the cops said. I just really couldn't believe it. And I can't believe that these people have jobs and they're supposed to protect us. So one of the comments that were made in this whole NYPD rant thing was Eric Garner. Now, this was by someone called Pressure Point Cop. I hope you choke on your spit. Yeah, I said it. Eric Garner, I hope you are lonely in that grave, not in heaven or hell, but just lying there cold in that ghetto cemetery forever, for eternity, waiting some chicken, or wanting some chicken and fries with some purple flavored soda. This is what someone who is in a uniform, who wears a uniform, who's supposed to go out there and protect people, this is what he says, has to say about a dead man. You're a fucking coward. You're a fucking coward.
And your children are probably cowards too. Because he got behind the computer.
You're a fucking coward. To all of you who make these type of statements, you're fucking cowards. You want to be real men? Show your faces. Leave your real names. It ain't hard to find me. You know my one page is attached to the other, so you know who I is. And I stand by the shit that I say. You're fucking cowards. What kind of human are you to say that about someone dead? Oh, but I guess it's easier to say it about someone dead because they're dead. They're talking about Eric Garner like he was this violent, felon, criminal who came out of nowhere, started busting guns, shooting, stabbing people, all this and that. You, a cigarette. He was supposedly, allegedly selling cigarettes. You killed someone's husband. You killed someone's son. You killed the father of how many children? He had five, six children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, five children, yeah.
You had a, you killed a man, you killed the father, and you're proud, and you guys are proud of that. You're proud of the man who killed him, and you support him. How do you call yourself Christians or Catholics or whatever you claim to be? How do you even talk to God with that type of hate in your heart? How do you show your face in a church with that type of hate, that type of that evil? How do you kiss your mother with that mouth, if you have one? How do you do that? You know what? I read stuff like that and it makes me lose my faith in humanity at a rapid rate. Because knowing that you think like that, how could I ever trust you to do the right thing? How could anyone ever trust the badge to do the right thing? Now, it's you bad cops that are screwing it up for the good cops. But this is the twist. I say that to say you're doing a good job, Patrick Lynch, of trying to shit on O'Neill, the commissioner, which is very disrespectful, and shit on the mayor. Why? Because he has two black children? Of course, because you're a piece of racist shit. But let's stop covering up the fact of how you live in a glass house. You all do. 8 police officers to this date have committed suicide. But yet you find it better. You find it more important to talk about morale because this guy got fired. You're full of shit. It's more than him getting fired. It's not even about him getting fired. It's something else. You can pull out all the duct tape and everything you want to try to keep your house from shattering, but people see through your shit. People been seeing through your shit. And now you have a mayor in office who's just not taking it, and you have a commissioner that's like, yo, I'm not screwing up my shit for you. 8 police officers. Whether they had personal issues, or they had issues on the job. There's something going on within NYPD that no one really wants to talk about. So you cover it up with bullshit. And that's what I feel this whole talking about Panty Boy and all this other shit. That's what I think it's about. You're trying to cover up the truth.
Yeah, but they've been doing that.
Well, yeah, of course. It's coming to a head. You know, there are cops out there that go out there and risk their lives and deal with a lot of bullshit, not only for the people on the streets, but the same people that wear the same goddamn uniform, the same people with a title higher than theirs. They're dealing with a lot of bullshit. Who's there to help
them? That's where that comes from. That's what, you know, I feel a lot of it is their guilt, the reason why they might have, committed suicide. That could be one reason. But it's just a lot that they have to, like I'm talking about, like if they were, I don't know if they were good or bad cops or whatever, but if they have to see certain things, it's going to mess with you. And knowing that you should have, like they go home at night thinking, damn, I should have did this, I should have said something, That's a lot weighing on them as well.
Exactly. But in the same token, it's like, who's there to help them out? Who's there to defend them? Who's there to care about them? Who?
Exactly.
Lady T, talk to me. What do you think?
I got a few things to say. I'll get to the stuff with the cops that committed suicide, but why isn't anybody saying anything? It's a judge that, you know, said, okay, he was guilty of X, Y, and Z. So, you know, this is a country that's always talking about innocent until proven guilty, right? But it only works for a certain type of people, that innocent, you know, until proven guilty. The minute that they're proven guilty, they want to protest about it and be mad about it. You understand what I'm saying? When they said, okay, the commissioner is going to have to decide whether to fire him or not, Pat Lynch already said what he was going to do. You understand what I'm saying? Regardless, the commissioner didn't even make a decision yet. So there was pressure on the commissioner. The commissioner is going to do what he has to do based on this case. And that's what he did. So why are they so mad is what I don't understand. They're going to appeal anyway. So what are you so mad about? You might just win on the appeal. So what is it that you're so mad about? Eric Garner's family will never get justice regardless, and that's what people have to start realizing. Once they appeal, let's say that gets overturned, okay, he might still be fired. Big deal. The family still is not going to get justice. This man is not coming back. So for people to go on a computer and say all this disrespect about Garner, what purpose does any of that serve? Why is nobody focused on the measures of the cops and how to stop things like this from happening? Because they don't care. So when you say, oh, cops are committing suicide, this, that, and the other, it's no different than a Marine coming back home, a vet coming back home, and these things happen to them. They also need self-care as well. They suffer traumatic things that they've seen. It's not all cops that are bad, but you do have some corrupt cops that are there. So all of this with this whole Pantaleo stuff, this stuff is going to die down pretty soon. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it really is. They may win on the appeal. Who knows? They just might. And then what happens? We're back to square one again. The Eric Garner family is going to be mad again. Is there really justice in this either way you go? Or is it just temporary justice for right now and we're getting worked up? I'm not getting worked up on this. That family is the one that's suffering right now. And it's really, really sad.
True. K-Doll.
Well, what I got to say about it is that time and time again, we hear of these things happening about police officers getting away with murder. And like Lady T said, everything that Lady T said was correct because, to be honest, listen, we do need the police officers. Police officers are there to protect the people. They're not there to abuse people. And unfortunately, when you hear of cases like Eric Garner, cases of countless others, They're quick to judge the victim rather than judge the cop. They're quick to say, oh, this victim, they're trying to dig up dirt on the victim, like, oh, he was doing this, he was doing that, oh, she was doing this, she was doing that, to give the police officers a reason for them to take their lives. Eric Garner was just standing there. He didn't have anything in his hands at the time this incident took place. They were quick to say, oh, well, he has a prison record. He was selling loose cigarettes, and really he wasn't. And was he fighting back with the police officers? No, when Detective Pantaleo jumped up behind him and grabbed him by the neck. And you hear the man saying countless times that he couldn't breathe, but he still held on, and the other cops still held him down till he passed out. And is there justice? No, there's no justice because, hey, Pantaleo's not even serving a day in jail. But yet, they were quick to arrest the man who made the video. They were quick to bring up his past that, oh, yeah, he's been arrested several times on drug charges. But yet, Pantaleo didn't even get a slap on the wrist. He just was found not guilty. But the commissioner, yeah, he fired him. But now you have Pat Lynch running his big mouth, as always. He always sides with the police no matter what, because the first time that I've heard of Pantaleo was during the Amadou Diallo shooting case. And when Pantaleo defended the cops, and plus he favored Rudolph Giuliani, who was then mayor, who favored the cops. But meanwhile, Patrick Lynch. And he's dirty, and now he's turning against Mayor de Blasio, because Mayor de Blasio had every right to say that I have to have that talk with my son. Mayor de Blasio was not supporting what those police officers did to Eric Garner, but all of a sudden, now he finds a problem with it, and now you're going to tell me that you're going to what did he say again? Oh, yeah, the police, he's going to make sure that the police are slow to do things, slow to do their jobs. You're going to create more crime by doing that. And by all means, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. You know, the Garner family's gone through enough already. They've gone through a whole lot. Seeing the video itself is traumatizing. And to see the person who committed the murder get away with it, that's more traumatizing for them. And, you know, time and time again, these things keep happening. When is it going to stop? We just don't know.
When we stop having false hope and real justice, because none of this is real justice, but...
Exactly.
Red, what's your take?
Well, like I said, I'm in agreement with what everyone else said. It's a damn shame that, you know, like I said, basically he's getting away with murder. And if them tables was turned, that man would have been, well, the person would have been either dead themselves or under the jail, or they'd have ridiculed, they'd have did all kinds of stuff to him. But this dude is getting like a you know, like a pat on the back, like, oh yeah, great job, for somebody like just as you said, the man wasn't violent, he wasn't doing anything. But once again, it's that stereotype of, oh, the big black man, the big black scary man, oh yeah, he was doing it. And from whatever they have in their heads already, so they figure, oh yeah, he was a threat. Oh, that guy did his job. He wrestled them down to the ground. You know, it's just like they could go into bars and talk, oh, he wrestled them down to the ground. He probably be in the damn bar demonstrating what he did all over again. You understand what I'm saying? And it's sad, and it's like a modern day, like once again, modern day lynching. That's what they do. They go into torment the people, and then they go back to their friends. Yeah, see what how I did? I jumped on his neck and, oh yeah, I wrestled him to the ground. You know, he was acting like a wild animal, you know. Like, come on, like. It's disgusting. It's just disgusting. And then, you know, like I said, you got to have your head on straight. I mean, whatever religion or whatever it is that you know, you pray to or you talk to or whatever, it's like you need to do that in order to keep your head straight, because it's just like, what kind of logic is going on here? It's not even common sense. Like, what kind of logic is going on here? You really feel that what you did was right? You killed somebody. Period. That should be. But I, like I said, I don't understand how they sleep at night. I guess that's why, you know, some of them, you know, might have did what they did, because you know what? How can you sleep at night? Your conscience. How can you sleep at night? You once again. I hope every gardener come to him in his dreams every night. That's
mm-hmm.
what I hope.
The same way that they used to hang black bodies and take
mm-hmm.
pictures with their corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Stand there with
mm-hmm.
the children, the women.
Mm-hmm.
The same way they used to set black bodies on fire and, you know, smile. Like, that's what they're
saying. Right.
This is them.
Yep,
this is
exactly.
This is the Neanderthal mentality. Listen, say what you will. We try to talk about other things. Because on the next part of the show, we'll definitely be talking about something else. But for some reason, we cannot seem to escape racism. And my big question is why? What are you scared of? And I have to ask, and I, you know what? I have to just come out and say, white people, what are you scared of? To those type of white people. Who seem to just think that, like, what is it? Like, what public enemy said, your fear of a. What are you afraid of? Wait, do you really think that if we came into power, like, we're going to. Exactly, and that's what it maybe is. If we came into some type of power and some type of control, we would do to them what they have done to us for 400 plus years.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely
mm-hmm.
just like the Public Enemy, that the album "Fear of a Black Planet." That's basically what this
exactly.
is: "Fear of a Black Planet."
But
"Fear of a Black Planet," straight on out. That's what it is.
But a lot of Caucasians don't realize we're not thinking about you.
Exactly,
we're thinking about us. We're focused on us, our children, our women, our men. Our situation, we don't really care what's going on with you. I think
you have to realize
a lot of Caucasian people like poking the bear more than anything.
But it's not us that they're scared of. They're scared of the ones like that go on, you know, like the Israelites and Elijah, Muhammad, all that stuff. That's what they're scared of. They hear those things. They hear those people's names. They know that, you know, some of us are awakening or have been woke for years. So that's what they're scared of. Because they know that message is going out there. They know those messages are going out there in any old way. Like, I'll say, for example, not to cut you off, but example, with the rap game. That's why they're glad that Drake is the good black rapper. And he can say nigger, so if he can say it, I can say it too. That's why they're glad that he's the rapper. Because you know what? When we had Public Enemy, KRS-One, and all those people putting out that good message, oh, no, we can't have them, because you know what? They're making these black people conscious.
Well, I know what they are scared of. They're scared of this man right here, 3054. Vroom, vroom. It's the Hot Rod.
Oh my god.
I do have a serious question though, Brother B. Do you kiss your mother with that dirty mouth of yours? God damn, I never hear you curse so much on this program in my life.
You know why? Because I'm really bothered. Like, I'm really bothered by the things that I've read. Like I said, I've read NYPD Rant before, but when I read stuff like that, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a father. You know what I'm saying? How do you do stuff? Like, what if somebody came in your house and did that to you, to your father, or did that out in the streets to your father? Like, how do you talk about somebody dead
I'll tell you like this. You create what you speak.
You keep talking shit about Michael Jackson, and he ain't here to defend himself. You're talking shit about Eric Garner, and he ain't here to defend himself. You talk shit about Tamir Rice. You talk shit about, you know, Trayvon Martin, and all others that were no longer here to defend themselves.
Of course.
It's easier than
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's easier to talk about somebody they're not here.
Oh,
just want to make a statement before I go upstairs. I want to go back to Lady T. It's a Big Red statement about white people. They're not afraid of us to a certain degree, but like someone told me about the Jews, the Orthodox Jews. Why do you think one of the reasons why they have so much children? Well, ever since the Holocaust, they didn't want to make sure that their population exists. So they will have six kids or more. Mm-hmm. And maybe white people try and find a way to, you know what, they're afraid that they become exist. You know, they might be out of this earth. Do we want that? Some people do want that, let's be honest. There's some black people out there that really want white people out of this world. But it's not going to happen.
Right.
K-Dog know who I'm talking about. But,
he got banned from Facebook. He got banned from Facebook again.
Oh, God.
But it's like, you know what? It's not just racism. I just don't understand all this hatred we have towards one another.
Dang
in general.
Exactly.
It's like, it's one thing I don't like you for whatever reason, but the word hate, it's like, okay, I hate you because you're Jewish, you're black, or you're ugly, or you're rich, or you're poor. I just would never understand that concept. And
right.
the word, and you know, we teach ourselves and our children that over and over and over again, passing down from generations to generations, you know. And like Brother B said earlier, you know, you have your good cops and your bad cops. Like, here I am. I'm teaching my kids, you know, to say hello to the officers, you know, be thankful. But at the same time, I'm scared for my life that I don't get shot by the cop. Now, is that oxymoron or what?
Yep, exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
It is. And we shouldn't have to live like that. We shouldn't have to live like that.
No, nobody should have to live like that.
Whether you're a cop or not,
you're
scared.
No child. Just imagine his children. Just imagine Eric Garner's children, how they view cops now. Just imagine the message that has been sent to them and sent to all others out there about law enforcement.
What happened if Garner's kids want to be a cop? You know, who knows? Maybe one of their kids want to be a cop one day until now. Until what happened to their father.
And trust and believe, either one of them, either they'll become like the they'll try to turn them into the token, or they'll abuse them. Because that's what they do. That's what the system does.
Yeah.
I think that there's such a house divided that they need to need a lot of reconstruction. A lot of reconstruction. That whole organization, that whole gang, needs a lot of reconstruction. And the first thing they need to bust apart is that whole ego.
Well, first thing they need to bust apart is Pat Lynch, but that will never happen. So let's be realistic, because that's where the problem starts.
He's making a fortune. He's making a fortune being a scumbag that he is right now.
Well, I think that
he's
started before him.
No, he's always been
before him. I think that started way before him. I think that started with Giuliani when he was out there running his damn mouth about the cops and telling they could do what they want and all that other stuff. I think that type of thinking with them started since then, because I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but I noticed after that he made that speech and he out there saying whatever the hell he wanted, basically letting them cops know that, listen, you can do what you want. Go on out there and do what you want. I think after that, that's right, because everything was the way it is.
Patrick Lynch, when Patrick Lynch, I mean, he was defending those cops to the T, because especially after what happened with, like I mentioned earlier, when Amadou Diallo was shot and killed after those four cops fired 41 bullets at him, killing him. Patrick Lynch was out there defending these cops. Oh, these cops are, they're traumatized by all of this. Their lives are in danger.
But
to
his defense, that's his job. I'm not saying it's right, but to his defense,
that's
his job.
You're right.
It's his job.
To
I'm
do
not
that.
Saying. But the way
it's
he was defending, but then after you sitting there cursing out the mayor, how the mayor's anti-police, de Blasio had every right to say what he had to say about his son. He had every right to say it at the time of the Eric Garner case. He had every right to say it.
I don't think de Blasio is anti-police.
No.
I think he's just a realist about things. I think he just looks, he can see it on both sides of the spectrum as a Caucasian male and also as a father of black children or half black children. Mm-hmm. I think he sees it from both sides. And of course, they'll never see it from the side because they only see it from one side, and that's the Caucasian side. The things that they probably say about the mayor behind closed doors are probably despicable, just like the NYPD rant thing. But once again, you know, God don't sleep. Don't think that you're going to hate somebody today and go to church on Sunday and be forgiven. God knows what's in your heart.
Exactly.
God knows you're full of shit. You know, you can say what you want. You could try to dress it up or make it all nice, but it is what it is.
I don't think people like that are worried about God. They'll deal with God when they meet him. That's their attitude because it doesn't add up, man.
You're right, T. You see, I think they're soulless. I think they have no souls. I think they really did. You're right. They only call on God when they need God. But otherwise they don't have a soul. I mean, like I said, I can't apologize for some of the things that I say because it's like, yo, this right here, it just hit too close to home. It's just too much, man. How am I supposed to? And you know what? I don't have issues with cops. I just have issues with individuals who take the job of being a cop and misuse it. I have a problem with people who abuse the badge and think that it's their own personal toy to play with. That's what I have a problem, because I know some cops, and I know some damn good cops. They're good human beings that have the jobs of police officers. And I'm worried for their lives because of you dirty ass cops. That's what bothers me. And what bothers me is that one of these good people that I know may get jammed up because of somebody else's bullshit. Because nothing ever happens to the bad apples. They don't seem to get tossed. They just continue to get rotten and become more and more rotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know what bothers me with this whole situation is worrying about when is the next time we're going to hear another story like this. Because to me, it's just on and on and on. It'll pause, then you'll hear another person. It'll pause, another. It's like it's really, really sad that you really have to think like that.
You're right.
Right.
It's true.
Yep. Shame. It's a daggone shame. I hope that changes, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope it does change, and you know, in a big way, because you know, something has to give. I mean, I got nieces, I got nephews, I got godchildren, I got a daughter. I mean, I know people who got kids. You know, it's like, what are we passing on to the next generation? Just another cycle of hate. What are we doing? Why are we even doing it? Who wants to have to hate the person that's supposed to be there to help you? How do you go to the person and how do you go to a cop and you're not sure if they like you or not?
Mm.
You know how confusing.
And they used to always have that on.
Or a kid must be, sorry, right, real quick.
All right, go ahead.
A kid must be conflicted. Because back in the days when I was growing up, we went up to a cop, no problem. They used to be a cop in the cops and the PJs that knew the community. White cops, black cops, they knew. They knew the drug dealers. They knew everything. They made it their business. And trust and believe, you couldn't even attempt to say something bad about one of them cops. Because somebody mother, somebody grandmother, you ain't going to say that about officer such and such. But now look at it. Now look how you're training. You're putting them out there on the street. You're putting them in areas. Some of these cats have never probably seen a black person in their life because they live somewhere in,
exactly.
in ass buck Long Island or Connecticut or someplace else. So you put them on New York City streets. They don't understand the mentality. And the first thing they want to say, oh, these savages, oh, these dogs, these this. I mean, listen, you're the original savage if you really want to tell it, but we ain't going to get into that. But once again, some of these kids nowadays, they may have to go up to you, but how do you know? Look at the Central Park 5 situation. The shit
oh, my goodness.
Those boys. And you say, and you really expect someone to trust you? There's no you. What type of relationship you're going to build with the community after a history such as that, and after current events that's going on right now? Where do we even start? You still have cops that are suing the department because they've been treated unfairly because of their color or their beliefs or whatever. How are we supposed to trust you?
So
then you wonder why the people, and now you wonder, see, this is why the people are turning their back.
Yep.
Because the people are tired.
We've seen this happen before.
Exactly.
We've seen this happen many times because, you know, especially with the, when you're crying out for justice and constantly we're being smacked around, we're constantly being, you know, denied justice. Like I said earlier, we see the very same people that are supposed to be protecting us using the power that be to abuse us, to murder us, and they're not even serving jail time for it. They're not even, like, let's just say they don't even get a handcuff. They get a slap in the – they don't even have a slap in the wrist. And you imagine the families who are sitting inside these courtrooms and looking at these guys get away with murder, and you hear the verdict, not guilty. They've been acquitted of murder. That does something to you. It does. You can't even imagine what it does to you, what it does to the families.
It doesn't make me feel safe.
No.
It doesn't make me feel that my child or my friends or my family are safe. Because you never know the intent of one of these individuals.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know. Exactly.
And I would like to apologize to those that are listening with sensitive ears. Yeah, I know I was just kind of extra earlier, but I just had to. I just had to really get that off because it's been pent up. Like I said, it's something that really bothers me spiritually and emotionally. The fact that we just treat each other like this on a consistent basis. And the people that are hired to be professional are so unprofessional in their actions. But yet, they want to tout themselves as the finest. You don't deserve that title. You don't deserve that label. Because there's nothing fine about you. At all. Guys need to clean up your shit. That hate, because I'm telling y'all, all this negative energy, all this hate, like, I'm tired of it. And sometimes it makes me want to stay in my damn house and lock myself up and just not go anywhere. Because every time you walk out the door, that's all it is. It's just hate. It's just ignorance. It's people being rude to each other. Discourteous. It's just, why? Why?
This is the society that we live in now.
Exactly.
This is what they wanted, but this is what they wanted. They wanted this. This was bound to happen. They wanted this. I've heard people from years ago speak on these type of things, you know, this type of thing happening, and you know what? It's finally happening. This is what they wanted. They want us to be divided. They want the human race to be divided by color and creed and social status and everything else. This is what they want.
Because, you know, nobody's born to hate. Nobody's born to hate. It is taught in the home. Because especially when you have hateful people, you have people, you have race, you have all types of hate, whether it's racism, prejudice against someone of a different class, prejudice against someone of a different nationality. Like the other day I was talking to my neighbor about this, and they said, you know what? I noticed that there's a hatred among us as a people. I'm saying black people. When it comes to black Americans and West Indians, they have I've heard a lot of nasty comments come out of a lot of, you know, black Americans when it comes to West Indians and vice versa. I'm like, oh, yeah, I grew up with that. I remember going to school with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hate on the Haitians. I'm like, wow. I'm like, not knowing
right,
the history of Haitians.
I used to hear a lot of that, too, and that's terrible.
Yeah, that was really bad back in the day. So I don't even want to say the things they would say, but where do you learn that? It's learned in the homes.
Right, absolutely.
It is. It's taught in the
home. Really sad to call them, you know, people of different nationalities, different names. You got stupid nicknames for them and so forth. It's really sad.
Right.
It's learned in the homes.
And, you know, hatred of religion or hatred of someone's, like, sexual orientation and all of that. I'm like, listen, again, it's taught in the home. You have hateful people raising their children to be ignorant and raising their children to hate. And now you have social media, a lot of people using their social media. But guess what? Social media is cracking down on hate speech.
Uh-huh.
And like Hot Rod was saying earlier, there's someone who we know. And Brother B, you know, you and I have spoken about this, brother. He is a troublesome.
Yeah, but I think they're being selective. I think they're being selective in who they're clamping on with their hate speech. I really think
that
Facebook is. They're being selective in it.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I grew up in a story.
Yeah.
A very, very diverse place. You got your Indians, you got your Greeks. You got your blacks, you got your Spanish, you got your Italians. You just have all types of people. And it's still a very diverse area to this day. So I mean, it's a lot of bias that I didn't have to grow up with. I mean, yeah, we had our issues. But it was nothing that we ever took that serious.
Mm-hmm.
The most you had was project against project. And that was a bunch of project people against another bunch of project people. But that wasn't it wasn't no race thing. It was just a project against project. That's
right,
why my project's better than your project. You know, that's it. But other than that, I mean, in some of these projects, you had white folks, too. You had Indians, too. You had all, and everybody just kind of had the same pride. Just pride in where they were from. Nobody was really giving a damn about race. Not that I saw. When I went to the back store, and Poppy was hooking me up. He was like, hey, give your mother this. Hey, know who my mother was. Know who my father was. Hey, send that to him. Send this to him.
Mm-hmm.
And what, now, it's, right now, it's just, it's like, yo, this is not real to me. And this leads us into our next topic. So, Mr. Dave Chappelle has been receiving a lot of criticism for his stand-up Sticks and Stones. So I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let Red go first, then Lady T, then K-Dog, and I'll just come back around the corner. All I'm going to say is, yeah, I think people just got that kick in the balls or the kick in the cooch. Because I think he just really dealt it to him too real. And a lot of people couldn't deal with that. But I'll let you tell it, Red. You go ahead, Red. You go, Red.
Well, I'll say this. I watched it, Sticks and Stones. And I've always been a fan of Dave Chappelle. Except for when he did them little stupid movies here and there. But, you know, you have to grow. You have to get up there. And then especially with the Chappelle Show and you know, when they tried to, you know, kind of play him, and he went away for a little while and came back. Once again, when some things happen like that, and certain, you go through certain experiences in your life and you look at things, and he always been blunt, you know, you learn a lot. And I like, I really, like, I've really never really watched the, one of his stand-ups, but that one there, I'm very happy I watched it. At the end of the day, he's talking real facts. Everything he said was real facts. Because at the end, like, once again, what happened to logic and common sense? Everything he was saying was logical and made common sense. Okay? At the same time, like I said, logical and common sense. That's the only way I can just say it. And he basically said, you know what, America, or not America, but, you know, the others, kiss my ass. That's basically what he said throughout that whole the whole thing to me. Now, you know, once again, at the end of the day, you have to be, he was respectful, but he's speaking from his heart. He's speaking from his heart. And he wanted to make people think. And once again, logic. Let's be logical about things. Just like he said with the school shooter, with them doing the drill for the school shooter. Okay, you do that, but guess what? The damn school shooter's in the goddamn classroom learning everything. Mm-hmm. And then he going to go home and make a plan and be like, oh, they do this when they do that. Okay, so when I, you know, get ready to come up and you know, do my thing, I know where they're going. So I'm going to walk the same place they're going. So it's just like, come on, like, get offended for what? Once again, going back on the subject we was talking about before with the cop, you go on social media and say whatever the hell you want, and you're typing this and typing that because you can hide behind something so nobody don't know who you are. You talk about people like dogs and talking about their families and all other stuff, but this man is on stage, you know who he is. He's spitting facts, and now, oh, it's a problem, and he's doing it because what? Because he's showing his face. I guess if he was on Twitter or someplace else, or nobody knew who he was, and he right. If he was being a coward, then y'all be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, once again, like I said, I've seen white comedians go on stage and say certain things,
mm-hmm.
and nobody gives them no flack unless they say the word. I'm sorry, I didn't want to say the word, but unless they say that word, then you know. Then they kind of get praised for it because they kind of praise it for it, like that guy from Frasier when he said it.
Yeah, Michael Kramer.
Right, that's his name. I was trying to think of his name. Yeah, when he said it. Now, you only heard about a little bit of it, and then after that, now you don't hear about it no more. And guess what? He on everybody's TV show and talking and all kinds of shit, right? Okay, so you know what? Why y'all mad at him? No, y'all mad at him because he didn't want to be a buffoon for y'all before, and he damn sure ain't going to be one for y'all now. He going to do what he got to do. He going to say what he got. Saying, guess what? If I get flat, guess what? I got people that still love me. He's still going to get paid both days. How about that? That's what I got to say. That's what I got to say.
Well, I didn't see the comedy, but, you know, I'm very familiar with Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, one thing about him is his growth right now, especially
mm-hmm.
now. And I say that to say this. Like, let's say if this happened 20 years ago, people wouldn't have taken him seriously with this stuff. They would have just laughed at, ah, ha, 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 it's a joke. But they see that he's serious. First thing he does is go out
mm-hmm.
to, I think it's Dayton, Ohio, right? That's his hometown?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not 100% sure. But he went out to his hometown where the shooting happened.
Okay.
And he had that whole festivity with Kanye, I think, came, a few other people came and so forth, and went out there to support, you know, his community and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see Chappelle like that, is my point that
mm-hmm.
I'm making. They want to see him cracking those, God rest his soul, Charlie Murphy jokes. They don't want to see him being serious and being real with America the way that, just like Red said, if it was a white comedian saying that, it would be okay. But it's
uh-huh.
not okay for us to grow. They want to see us being the stupid jokers. They want to see that.
Yeah.
Huh?
They don't want to see him playing this part and having, you know, positive impact on, let's say, black men that may be listening to him and
uh-huh.
having positive impacts on that. That's dangerous.
Absolutely.
Them.
Yep. Absolutely. That's how
yeah.
I go.
Yeah, well, Dave Chappelle, as we all know, has always been an in-your-face comedian, and he wasn't afraid to take risks. And, you know, like Lady T said, they want to see the buffoonery, but when he's being serious, it's like, oh, my goodness, it's a problem. What is he saying? You know, it's controversy. And if you recall, there was a comedian that used to go the extra mile. His name was George Carlin.
And George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
He kept it real. And when he joked about religion, people were not too happy about that. But he was
He had a lot of controversy, too.
Yeah, he was telling it like it is. And therefore, Dave Chappelle is a tell-it-like-it-is comedian. The same with Dick Gregory. It goes on throughout history. You know, they're being serious. They're telling it like it is, but in a humorous way.
Right. And, you know, like I said, for him to get backlash on that, like, it makes no sense. And I think it was more of, like, the gay community had got, you know, kind of hot with him, I think, as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What he said about, he didn't
call
him just, huh?
He said letters.
I think it was the letters.
Yeah.
I think it was just what he was saying in general in terms of just them. I think the fact he was kind of calling them out.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it wasn't in a negative way. He was just kind of pinpointing things that were seemed factual. Because as he said, he has gay friends. He has gay friends. Like, so one of us all knows somebody that's gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not proud of it, but I don't really care. Like, you know what I'm saying? Listen, as long as you don't get on my nerves.
As long as you don't get on my nerves.
Or you don't spill my alcohol, good. But I don't have a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not that type of person. You do what you do. But I think the issue is the subliminal agenda. Like, why are you trying to force me to like you when you don't like you don't care? Like, if you're gonna come to the party, come to the party. But you don't need to come to the party and say, "Oh, by the way, I'm gay." Nobody cares. Why
All
do
right.
you want somebody to care about you being gay or fight for rights? What rights do you need to have that no one else has? You know what I'm saying? Like it's not that serious. You're gay? Okay. I'm Brother D. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're gay. Hey, Dave Chappelle. How you doing? Like, you know, it's not something that you need to really need to push on up. Like,
it's not even about being pushed on other people. One thing about it, okay, you're gay. That's your sexuality behind closed doors. I'm not asking Brother B what you do in the bedroom. You
exactly.
get what I'm saying? But people are so concerned about gay people, and it's that you got to put them in a box, okay? They're gay. What makes them different? They're a man or a woman, and what they
right.
do behind closed doors is their business. It doesn't affect me unless I'm with you and I want to know, are you bi or, you know what I mean, are you an undercover
right.
brother? Then that's different. Then I'd
yeah,
like
I
to know.
Care,
like, but aside from that, I don't care.
Me neither.
But,
I don't
that's
care
the thing.
If someone's
I think,
gay or
I
not.
Think they would,
I don't care about the case.
I think a lot of them just want people to know, oh, like, we're here. This is our movement.
Right, but we can tell you here by... you know, things that you may do or mannerisms or whatever, but just like you said, why do I care? If you're gay, like that's like, you know, once again, it's like a norm now. Okay, if you're gay, you're gay. Okay, well, whatever. It's not like it's like back, you know, like a couple of years ago, maybe like the 80s or something like that, or the 90s, and if you found out somebody was gay, it was like, oh, my God, you're gay. Nobody cares anymore.
But you know what? You know what the problem may be in reverse? The problem may be the fact that people don't care. Like, people accept
like,
you, most people, for the most part, accept you for who you are. The question is, do you accept yourself?
Right. The thing is,
because
it's the way society is.
You're telling me that you're gay doesn't help me. It doesn't
make
me look at you different. It doesn't make me want to be ill. I don't like. Okay, so you, like, why are you telling me that you're gay? Why do you have to announce to me that you're gay or you're transgender or you're bisexual? So what? Join the party. Have a drink. Relax.
Neither,
what's super important? Like, why are you announcing yourself when you come into? Because nobody's really paying attention. Everybody's just trying to get along with their lives. Everybody's just trying to make do what they could do.
You know what it is? Why they do it? Because of the way people, they want to see how they'll be treated. Because unfortunately, someone comes out the closet, it's a problem. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like they're being judged by who they are.
Well,
right?
K-Dog. And they, listen, you don't hear about gay people getting killed like black folk.
Mm-hmm.
That's one big thing. They ain't got to worry about law enforcement shooting them up.
Oh, in other countries, they do. In other parts of the world, they got to worry because they're like, in some countries, being gay is outlawed. They really outlaw gays over there.
But see, you know what? That's them. And you know what I'm saying? That's them and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't really, like, I got to worry about what's going on in my own backyard before I start thinking about anybody else. And, out of the plethora of things that Dave Chappelle was talking about, besides, you know, the gay thing, besides the fact that, common sense is not that common. Like, people are just totally just threw common sense out the window and said, fuck, we don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, and, you know, I really never thought about it, but Anthony Bourdain, yeah, he had a fly job. This dude went from country to country just eating food, just tasting other people's food. And he killed himself in a luxury hotel in France.
Uh-huh.
It's deeper than you and I. But some people just don't care to acknowledge it. It's not about me. It's not about you. Sometimes it's just about us. As a collective, as a whole.
Exactly.
This is why there's so much negative going on. There's so much division. You got gays, you got transgender, you got queers, you got blacks, you got whites, you got Indians, you got Asian, Pacific Asian, West Indian blacks, these type of blacks, this type of white, that type of European whites. You know what, Anglo-Saxon, you got, it's just too much. This is too damn much, man. And everybody's fighting to prove that they're better than somebody else. Why?
And I don't know why. I don't understand
We're on the same boat.
I don't care. I don't know why people think they need to impress me. Impress me for what? I don't care what you do. That's your business. Do it.
But I think, once again, that's the problem. People want you to care because there's something insecure in them that makes them want to do something to make themselves feel like, oh, I'm here now, or you notice me. So this is what I'm going to do to get you to notice me. Or this is what I'm going to say to get you to pay attention to. Sometimes we have to start looking at things for what they aren't. Instead of what they are. Like that dude that killed Eric Garner. You know he's miserable. He's a little guy. Got a big job. He had shoes to fill. He tried to prove himself. Yeah, I'm going to take this guy down. The David and Goliath, you know, scenario. And he feels super because, you know, he took a big guy down.
Mm-hmm.
So that fed his ego. You know, it did something to the story that he could tell his kids and all that. But it backfired. It didn't go the way that he thought it would go.
Mm-mm.
Everybody's out here trying to be a hero. Don't be a hero. just be you. Let the rest come. If it was meant for you, if it was meant for you to be some type of hero or have some type of status, then it was meant to be.
Yeah.
I mean, when I listened to Dave Chappelle's stand-up, I mean, I just found it extremely, like, wow. He gets it. Like, somebody gets it. Somebody just basically just said everything that basically needed to be said. Just like the opioid crisis. It's only a crisis because white people are on drugs. But when black people were cracking, it was like, yeah, let them kill each other. Let them kill themselves. Who cares? But now all of a sudden, this opium thing is a crisis. This needs to be treated. This, that, the third. Okay, whatever. The double standard couldn't be more blatant. And now that we live in this era with this charlatan White House, it's everybody just seems to just feel like it's okay. It's just, oh, I'm just going to call this person a nigga. And I really liked the part where he was just like, he was talking with, I guess, the person of the ethics person who said that he can't say the word, you know, he can't say faggot on TV or in a stand-up. But he's like, I can say the word nigga with no problem. And
yep.
I can't say the word faggot. Oh, because Dave, you're not a faggot. Well, I'm not a
nigga.
I'm
just confused. Wasn't Archie Bunker saying nigga?
Yeah, Archie Bunker said, oh, colored. He used
color.
He used
Jews.
Oh,
he was
okay.
saying a lot.
Yep, he uses all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was saying
basically
a lot of
yeah.
stuff.
Wait,
and I'm like,
wait,
remember
say,
back in the day, say honky for a white person?
Hold
like,
on.
Well, George Jefferson, no problem.
Yeah, George Jefferson.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lady T. Could you start that sentence again? What'd you say? What'd you say, Lady T?
Oh, with George Jefferson. George Jefferson used to say honky.
And nigga.
Yeah,
it was okay on
yeah.
TV, right? And I'm talking about
yeah.
TV when
but
I was a kid watching
do
the
realize,
TV.
Yeah, but
yep,
you do
I remember
realize,
that.
Like, you know, that was, you know, years ago with people. I don't think, I'm not saying that people didn't get offended, but not easily offended as they do
as it is
now.
Now.
And
yeah,
the,
you called the white person a honky, they was offended.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
no,
they
but
were.
I'm just saying, right, but I'm just saying it's like not like, like how it is like now. Norman Lear, I respect him. Icon, I respect that man a lot because, once again, he opened up that door because, once again, he's doing what happened. What's happening now. You're seeing people for who they are. He's saying, Archie Bunker, this is a person that you probably talk to every day. See, remember, there was no social media. There was none of that going on. So guess what? This is somebody you probably speak to every day. This might even be your neighbor. This might even be somebody that lived in the neighborhood or whatever. But guess what? They might be thinking like this. This is they might have a, you know, you might be friends with the wife, but the husband thinks like that. As a matter of fact, my mother did have a friend, and she was, I think she was Russian Jewish or something, and she lived around the corner from us. And guess what? She didn't think like that, but the husband did. Because my mother heard him say something one time, and she you know my mother, right, cuz? You know she had, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no
what
doubt.
Came, you know what came next, right? Okay. So,
oh, yeah.
I ain't going to say what came
oh,
next.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just
oh,
saying,
yeah.
like, yeah, she, you know, she had to give him the business because it's like, and the lady had a daughter, and I played with the daughter, I think we went to school and everything. And when my mother heard that, she was like, uh-uh, you ain't going back over there no more. Absolutely not. Okay. But once again, this is why he put that out there, because guess what? You have people that still had that thinking. Mind you, that was, what, 1970-something that show came out? You still got people that think like that. And then on the flip side of it, look at George Jefferson. He was thinking the same way about
yeah.
how he was white people. So he showed both sides. That's why I respect that man, Norman Lear, because he showed both sides.
And he wasn't
he showed both sides. Yep, he
okay, so
him.
Why
can't
they
what,
respect
why?
Chappelle with what he's saying, though? That's what I don't get. That's my point that I'm making, why they can't respect what Chappelle has to say.
Because
right,
a lot
absolutely.
Of them are
come on.
Now. But a lot of them are salty. But, like, a lot of people just all in their feelings. Oh, did you say, oh, you can't say this to me. Oh, my feelings hurt. Like, yo, pull your drawers up.
But see, you know what? Just like Lady T said, like I said, it's okay, once again, it's okay to say the N-word and all that other stuff. That's all right for me to say, but because I'm saying the F-word, that's a problem. First of all, that word is just a made-up word, a word that I don't know who made it up for, you know, as a slur, but isn't that word supposed to be a cigarette? In Britain, that's supposed to be a cigarette?
Yeah, fag.
Yeah, fag or whatever. That's
cigarette. Mm-hmm.
So once again,
they had a few nonsense made up, you know, meaning.
Right.
For
it's all about what we. Now, I'm not gonna say us personally, but well, you can say well, I guess so. How we've been conditioned to hear these things, and that's what we automatically go to. You understand what I'm saying? Well, it's sad. It doesn't make any sense because somebody put a label on a person. Say, oh well, let's call them this, and let's say this about it, and let's call this name. Why? Why are you putting labels on people?
Because once again, it's another way to divide.
Exactly, divide and divide. Everybody has labels.
Give them a label. You give them a title. You give them a. Sorry, is to keep everybody separate. I'm going to label you this so you can label. Just imagine if there was no labels such as black, white. Just imagine if there was no LGBTQ. I'm sorry if I messed it up. It's a lot of letters. Just imagine
it's
if there
too
was
much.
None of that. It was just people. Like, no one labeled themselves transgender, gay. No one labeled themselves black or Indian or nothing. People just said, oh, I'm human. Everybody just wore the title, just one title, human.
Right, exactly.
How far can we get? Just with that. We all seeing things one way. But somebody has to implement it. Somebody has to keep us all sidetracked. And like I said, to me, to those critics, who has something to say about Dave Chappelle's stand up and, you know, how they didn't like it and they felt you're in your feelings. You're in your feelings. You're probably mad because Dave Chappelle hit a nerve with something, you know, that happened in their life or whatever's going on. I mean, hey, he's a comedian. And one thing you got to respect about comedians, especially in times like this, they kind of break up. They break the ice. They break the tension. And sticks and stones is something that was really, really needed. I think it's one of its finest works to date. Because he dropped so many jewels for people to think about. It was that iceberg. To just get people questioning, why are they? Did you see how he started it off with a Prince song? 1999.
Mhm.
Mhm.
And when you think about, I mean, we don't really. A lot of people don't really listen to the lyrics of songs anymore. But the fact that he started it off with that song, just that part, was deep enough. But I guess people don't really use their brains like that anymore to really decipher, you know, certain things. Like, some people will interpret it negative, of course, because they'll just feel that, oh, you know, you're a black man talking about white people being negative. But people who really get it are going to be like, yo, that's deep.
Mm-mm.
Like I said, man, it just makes me really sad a lot of times to see how we just really treat each other. That's why, once again, I don't read the newspaper. Like, if I need to read something, I'll just read it. Maybe I'm going to do a top of the show, topic on it or something. But I just really don't read the newspaper. I don't watch the news. It's too depressing.
Yeah, me neither.
It's very much depressing. Negative energy is just not something. Like, Red. I got to ask Red, but I can also ask K-Dog, and I also ask you too, Lady G. Like, have you just felt like kind of sluggish? Like, lately, it's like all this negative shit, it just makes me feel just like, like tired. Like I don't want to be bothered. It just makes me feel like real low on energy. Like negativity really bogs you down. It brings
it
you
does.
Down.
It does, because especially when you're watching the news. I mean, that's why I'm making my business not to watch the news unless it's about sports or the weather, because it's just too much out there. Every day you hear of all this acts of hate, and it's like the atmosphere now is just really bad vibes. It's like you don't feel right listening to all that negative stuff.
Yeah,
you just don't feel right about it.
I think Facebook is. I think we should do a Facebook challenge. Just give it 48 hours to stay away from anything negative, a toxic person, or some negative news, or negative whatever. Just try to keep it for 48 hours. Just 48 hours to try to be keep yourself immersed in positive energy, positive thoughts for 48 hours.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, once again, that would be wonderful to do that, but I think that's going to be...
It's hard. It's everywhere.
Yeah, that's going to be hard as hell to do, but I'll just say, you know, my thing is the best way to, you know, keep from all the negatives, just, you know, go on Facebook. I did it before. I didn't go on Facebook for a whole day. I may have went on Instagram. Instagram is a little different than Facebook.
I thought you was about to say a whole week. You said a day.
Oh, no. I did it to myself. My thing is you can't just go cold turkey. Like, I mean, some people can, but you got to wean yourself. And I'm one of them type of people, I have to wean myself off of something. So for about 2 days, I really didn't go on Facebook. So, you know what? It's hard as hell not to see anything negative. I also say that got to do with the people that you follow. To me, that's a big difference.
Because
everybody I follow on everybody that's on my Facebook is hilarious as hell. So I do more laughing than anything else. And anything that come up negative, I just scroll past it. Cause, I ain't got time for that. The news I don't watch, and you know, it's just that I don't know how we're going to get back to a point where things are going to be simpler, and because you know what, you know, technology and I guess social statuses and social just society has to change, and you know, but once again, is it changing for the better? Is it changing for the worse? You know, are we in between? You know, it needs to, you know, it has to change. Society has to change. We have to grow. But, you know, what are we bringing on for the next generation that's coming up, you know, when we're going? Like what are they going to be worried about? Like, I was watching a video with one of my son and his girlfriend, and the young lady in the video is two girls. Well, two girls, some group called City Girls. Now, they're supposed to be the hot group now, you know, and they do all the twerking and talking about taking money from dudes and whatever the hell else they talk about and swinging on poles and everything. But the chick in the video is pregnant. So how is it that you, I don't understand, you're supposed to be twerking
and the other one's
in jail,
pregnant?
And I don't understand.
Well, who's pregnant?
City girls. One of the city
girls, they're pregnant. Wait, she was playing like she was pregnant in the video?
No, she is pregnant. We talking about playing. No, she's in the video pregnant. Some video with her and French Montana and somebody else, child.
So she's pregnant in the video talking about taking money from guys?
Yes. And get you a real N-word, word to get you, fly you out and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay, well, you know. Oh, boy. I said these children are gonna
have baby syndrome
before they even be born.
Stop. When you said she's pregnant, she like showing pregnant, like belly out, or this is something
that's the thing. Ain't no more hiding that you're pregnant in these videos.
I don't watch this stuff. I don't. I
I know. I just happen to be watching. Ain't no more hiding yourself when you pregnant. Like, you know, women don't do that no more. Just, I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with it, but she in the video and she got the belly out. And,
there is kind of something wrong about it because it is the safety of your child while you're on that pole. Like, let's be serious.
Was she pregnant on the pole?
No.
Okay. I thought she said on the pole.
She was sitting
out
on the side of a pool. They rent those houses, and she's on the side of the pool rapping French Montana's in the view. All the other girls is twerking, doing all kinds of mess in the video or whatever. She's doing a little dancing, but, you know, she can't do but so much because pregnant. I guess.
It's kind of rough. I'm just like, wow, is that the new hustle?
This is what's being put out there. And you know, some of these young ladies and young men think that's what it is.
They destroying themselves before they even hear. That's what that pregnant belly shows in this video or whatever you're talking about to me. It's like you're showing I'm gonna destroy that generation before it's even here. It's really disgusting.
Right. I said the child gonna have shaking baby syndrome before.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's the thing. Like, you know, and like I said, it starts from home. All of this stuff is a learned behavior. It starts from home. There's nothing wrong with keeping up with you know, society or keeping up with the times. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to teach some type of morals and values. You have to put things that have been instilled. But guess what? If these things haven't been instilled in you, how are you going to instill it in the next children that's coming, you know, with these children? How are you going to instill it in them?
Are they still looking for people to volunteer to go to Mars?
I think we already are Mars, guys. We're still looking for Mars. We are Mars.
I need to find another place to be because you telling me in between all the other stuff you talk about a pregnant chick, belly showing, sitting by a pool, rapping. Okay.
Yep. Listen, I done told you. I done tried to call NASA and ask them when they next mission, and they won't tell me nothing. So I don't know. They hung the phone up on me. I said, okay. Well, I try.
I can't. We are not evolving as a species. I really don't feel that we're evolving. I don't care how much technology. It seems like the more technology comes about, the dumber we are becoming.
The worse it gets.
No,
yes.
We got to stop blaming technology. What about the people in the household?
I'm not blaming technology.
Okay, technology is exposing this chick sitting, you know, next to the pool. But what about her parents that's going to see this video? You understand what I'm saying? I remember, you know, Snoop Dogg said his grandmother, God rest her soul, she passed.
You broke up.
Oh, y'all can hear me or not?
Yeah.
You said Snoop Dogg.
Oh, okay, no.
Grandmother passed away.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg's grandmother, I said. Never ever, he said, she would listen to his albums because of the curse words. So she passed away recently. So he said that's what made him do the gospel album because he was thinking, you know, I'm growing. I'm not the same, you know, 20-year-old when I started. What can I do? He made a gospel album, something that he said he wished his grandmother was here to listen to. My point is, like, this generation, they think they're going to be stuck in their 20s forever. You guys are going to turn 30 and 40 and going to be the 40? Dumbest piece of crap if somebody don't take charge right now. Like, back in the day, I would have a friend tell me, don't do that. That's stupidness. You understand what I'm saying? Like, a friend, family member, somebody.
Exactly.
They don't have that anymore, and you got to wonder what's going on with whoever was born after 1990s. I'm sorry, you guys got to get brighter. If you're listening to the show, 1990 kids and beyond, you got to get brighter.
Please.
Come
absolutely.
Into self-worth.
Well, you know,
treat yourself with integrity,
book.
Respect
pick up a
for yourself,
book and, read.
And love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really serious. It's not even funny.
Hey, dog, I'm sorry I had you. I wasn't even looking at the screen. I had you on hold for a minute. But you don't come back on the show cursing. What did you say? Pick up a book and read.
Wow. Yeah, because you know what it is? You look
is
at this
that?
Generation of people. All I got to say is this generation of is that the generation, and I echo what Lady T saying. Let me just say this. It's people use of this modern technology because you know what it is? The problem is, and I remember I used to say a lot about social media on the Absolute Truth Show. I'm not going to blame social media. It's the way people use social media. It's these young people using
That's
social
true.
Media to live. I'm like, you're living your entire life on social media? Pick up
yep.
a book and read. Have some damn respect for yourself, and please respect your elders. And for y'all out there, listen, ladies, y'all want to be, I'm sexy. No, it's best to leave things to the imagination because when you leave it all out there, it ain't sexy. And dudes, please pull up your damn pants. Stop walking around like a damn fool walking around with the sagging. Do you know where that style came from? All right,
K-Dog is asking for a big Christmas list, boy. You asking for a lot, homie. You be better. You probably be quicker to get $1 million than asking for all that stuff.
Right? I can't tell you.
Oh, but guys, FYI, guys, because today I was listening to it on the news. So Facebook and Instagram already tested it out. It's going to stop doing those likes things. So you're going to be the only one to see the likes. So your public audience, as far as your friends, are not going to see your likes anymore. So these guys are not going to survive online without these likes.
Oh,
no.
So they're
going to be going down. So
they're going to be like, oh, my God.
Oh,
God, that's the only one that liked my. Yeah, you dummy.
Yeah, they're not going to be seeing your friends are not going to see your likes and who liked and, you know, all that nonsense. It's like those likes that used to get you clout. That's going to be real. They had it on the news.
No, I'm just saying
people are going to be
living off these likes.
People are because they live off the likes. They get that 15 minutes of fame from that, especially
mm-hmm.
on Instagram. So
exactly.
It's not going down anymore. If I can't see all your likes and it's only you seeing it, it's not self-soothing to you. You know what I mean? You want your friends to see all the 1,000 likes you got, Brother B. But if only Brother B could see that, nah, serves no purpose for you to even be on Facebook. I don't know how they're going to survive.
Exactly.
Well,
I'm just saying, it's a good look. I'm with it.
I'm interested to see when is it gonna start, and I hope people don't.
I
want to
know how it's
gonna
go too. I'm about to go tell the kids.
you know, no one's gonna like
your
parents.
Go
oh my goodness, no one likes my parents. No one likes my parents. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, like your friends are not gonna be able to see that, you know, K Dog like Brother B likes and whatever. Like, you're just not gonna like it.
People are gonna go crazy.
You're not gonna like this.
People are gonna go crazy.
It's all good. As long as I like myself, I'm all right.
Exactly, and that's
I
the
like
whole point.
But we got less than a minute left. Lady T, K Dog, Big Red. Thank you. It was a nice show tonight. Once again, everybody tune in to the Absolute Truth on Blog Talk Radio Monday nights at 10 p.m. That's it. The Honorable Hot Rod, Sean Black, Lady T, K Dog, Absolute Truth on Blog Talk Radio, y'all, Monday nights, 10 p.m. On that note, another one in the can, the menu. We out. Everybody have a great
week.
Peace out, everybody. Peace and love to all.
Peace out. All
right. And eat your vegetables. Eat your damn vegetables.
Eat your vegetables.
Eat your vegetables.
Later.
Peace.